Following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on June 4th, 1981 in Murari Sevak Farm, Mulberry, Tennessee. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text 7.
Translation with repetition. The Lord ordered.
The Lord ordered.
Yoga Maya.
Yoga Maya.
O my potency.
O my potency.
Who are worshipable.
Who are worshipable.
For the entire world.
For the entire world.
And whose nature is to bestow.
And whose nature is to bestow.
Good fortune upon all living entities.
Good fortune upon all living entities.
Go to Raja.
Go to Raja.
Where there live many cowherd men.
Where there live many cowherd men.
And their wives.
And their wives.
In that very beautiful land.
Where many cows reside.
Rohini, the wife of Vasudeva.
Rohini, the wife of Vasudeva.
Is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj.
Is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj.
Other wives of Vasudeva.
Are also living there incognito.
Because of fear of Kamsa.
Because of fear of Kamsa.
Please go there.
Please go there.
Report by Srila Prabhupada. Nanda Gokula. The residence of King Nanda was itself very beautiful. And when Yoga Maya was ordered to go there and encourage the devotees with fearlessness, it became even more beautiful and safe. Because Yoga Maya had the ability to create such an atmosphere, the Lord ordered her to go to Nanda Gokula. Thus end the purport of text 7 by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The basic quality of this world, especially of the animals, is fear. You see any bird, any cow, any dog, any type of animal, they're very apt to become afraid, especially in their wild state when they have no protector. They're very afraid. As soon as you move or look at them, then they immediately become fearful. So this is a basic quality of animal life, is fear. And practically speaking, although in our modern society there's a big advertisement of so much advancement, people have not become fearless, which means that they have not been able to transcend animal existence. Rather, people's fears may have been solved or to some degree pacified in one area. But in another area, they're increasing. In so many areas. People may have been originally afraid. Actually, where has their fears been allayed? That's what I'm trying to consider. I said maybe, but I can't even think. Of course, they say that like for tuberculosis or for malaria or certain diseases, well, there are vaccines, so the fears are allayed. But then so many other diseases have come. People are practically always afraid of leukemia, cancer, so many type of thrombosis and this and that. So many type of diseases have come up. People are definitely afraid of contracting some disease. Therefore, when they go, especially leave the country, they have to get so many inoculations. Then, of course, before people were always afraid of, in America at least, there was even less of a fear about foreign attack. But now that fear has even grown. And the American people, they're always afraid of when the Russians may attack. the sphere is increasing also day by day. So the multi-billion dollar expenditure on defense must be done to help to allay that fear. You see. So many fears are there. Fears of not making the ends meet. The different type of fears, these are part of material life that are very prominent animals, but in the human life, you see, they can be actually limited. The fear of death is something which everyone has. Of course, there are some people who are so ignorant that somehow they avoid thinking about it until just at the very moment that some danger comes before them. But this is considered to be very ignorant, very foolish. They say ignorance is bliss. An intelligent person, he considers what is life, what is the goal of life, what is the end of life. And death for him poses a question, that why am I working so hard? It's all going to be finished. What is the actual purpose of life? Just like Teddy Roosevelt, president, over in the Gurukul, they had a book on a president. So when he died, he said, life and death, all part of the great adventure. Something like that. Of course, death, no one expects. No one expects that they're going to have to leave this body. So someone who is ignorant, just like a stone or a tree, doesn't think about it, then of course for him there's not that much worry. He doesn't have to fear that. He can just ignore it. But for an intelligent person, the obvious fact that my grandfather has died, that my father has died, I'm going to die. So what is the actual meaning of life? What is life? What is birth? What is death? What is this world? That consideration comes. So that fear can also be nibbaron. That fear can be destroyed by, nullified by knowledge. Knowledge is real bliss. Ignorance is not real bliss. Ignorance is type of bliss. So, but in one sense, one who is completely ignorant and one who has knowledge, they're both free from anxiety. One is falsely free just because he's ignoring all the dangers. And the other one is free because of factual knowledge. To not prepare one's borders against the attack of enemy, that type of freedom from fear would be simply utopian. At the same time, simply to go on fearing without taking necessary steps would also be considered to be foolish. So the wise thing is, if there is a fear, there is a danger, then one should prepare for it. So what seems to be a great anachronism is that while all the other fears, everyone takes precaution, why no one is taking precaution about the fear, the danger which is looming before us, we have to leave this body. That is the great mystery. That although everyone knows that there's a number one danger, anyone may escape from any danger, but who has escaped from death? Yet they don't think how to cross over or how to, what is the actual nature of all this? So this is maya or illusion. And this Krishna conscious movement is meant to give them factual knowledge. As we sang, Bhaja Hure Manna Sri Nanda Nandana Bhaya Charana Ravindare. Bhaja Hure Manna Sri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charana Ravindare. Fearless. Srila Prabhupada's name, A.C. Abhaya Charana Ravindare. Named after that. So, One becomes really fearless when he becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness. Because he knows that all the basic mysteries of life, who he is, where he is, where he's going, how to avoid the difficulties of life. Now, the devotee becomes fearless. Not the type of fearlessness that the materialist has, like sleeping, but an actual fearlessness. So, actual fearlessness is needed. Everyone wants to be actually free from fear. So this is described here, that Yoga Maya, Krishna's internal energy, she has the ability to create an atmosphere free from fear. So she was ordered to go to Gokula, the residence of Krishna's father, Nanda Gokula, to create such an atmosphere and encourage the devotees. Similarly, if we chant Hare Krishna, we serve Krishna, and we can create a proper environment, and Mother Subhadra Devi, Mother Yogamaya, she then will create in that place an atmosphere of fearlessness, an atmosphere where people can, in a harmonious way, serve Krishna. In fact, that is seen. Person may be materially beautiful, but that material beauty always has some defect, and actually it lacks a luster. But when devotional service is added, then one becomes actually beautiful. Because one is in the shelter of Yoga Maya, one is under the shelter of Krishna, connection with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he was so kind to bring this message to the West with the purpose of making the people fearless. When he landed in, one time he sent me a newspaper clipping from Melbourne or Sydney, I forget now, The Age. Maybe someone knows whether The Age is the Melbourne paper. Probably Melbourne. The Age from Australia. And the headline was Swamiji has come to hound us. Big headline. And the subheading was to save us from a cat and dog's life. It's a very big newspaper, as big as, the number one newspaper in, it was the headline. Number one newspaper in Australia. In that city, this is the biggest city in Australia. So, Prabhupada explained that when he arrived there, he told the people. They asked him, Swamiji, why you have come? Why you have come from India, it's a poor country, so on and so forth. Why you have come? He said, I have come to save you from a cat and dog's life. A cat and dog's life. How is that? He says, well, cat is eating, you are eating. Cat is sleeping, you are sleeping. Cat is having sex, you're having sex. Cat and dog is fighting, you are having your war machinery. Where is the difference? And they laugh. They like that very much. I said, yeah, there's no difference. She said, there is a difference, so I've come to save you from that by giving you actual knowledge. They have a good sense of humor in Australia. The Prabhupada, he was uncompromising. And actually, he simply wanted people to become fearless. To actually make people fearless. To make them free from the anxiety. You see. But someone might say that, well, but your devotees have left, or even your spiritual master left, that is the cause of grief for you. How can you say that devotees' lives are free from grief? But, of course, when the spiritual master leaves, the devotee cries. But that crying is actually of a different nature. It's very hard to explain to these people that actually the devotee's grief It's not real grief, the separation that he feels from the spiritual master or from other Vaishnavas. It's actually something which is very transcendental and very, at the same time as one is feeling a separation, is feeling a type of satisfaction or closeness to that person. This could be demonstrated. You know about Srinivas Acharya. Lord Chaitanya, when he left, then most of his associates left very quickly. They couldn't take the separation. There were a few associates left. Rupa Sanatan quickly left. And Srinivas Acharya, Bhagadadhar Prabhu quickly left. After a short time, Nityananda Advaita, after a few years, they all left. Within a few years' time, most everybody had gone. So Srinivas Acharya was a disciple of... He was the son of Chaitanya Das. And he wanted to study the Bhagavatam under bona fide spiritual master. So of course the great ordeal and the trial he went through to finally reach Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who became his spiritual master, is of course a great history and an epic in itself. So Srinivas Acharya, of course, was the first one to bring the books, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, to distribute them amongst the general devotees. Krishnadas Kaviraj had written the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other books were written by these other Goswamis. And so those were all being taken by Srinivas Acharya to distribute amongst the eastern states. Bengal, Orissa were all the principal devotees of Lord Chaitanya were at that time. And to have them duplicated there in Navadvip by the pandits. And in those days, the printing procedure was by hand. So it was a very tedious thing. So he was a contemporary of the son of Nityananda, Birbhadra Prabhu. Birbhadra Prabhu and Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Pandit were intimate associates. Intimate associates. The three of them actually brought the books together from Vrindavana to the eastern states, but main Srinivas Acharya was responsible. Ramchandra Kaviraj, who was a dear friend of Narottam Das Thakur, was also the disciple of Srinivas Acharya. So, in this way, a very intimate relation, although they were contemporary, sometimes they would preach together and sometimes they would separate and then preach in their own areas. Some areas were contiguous and some were different. So what happened was there was a devotee called Dvija Haridas, who was a very great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Narahari, who was a direct associate of Lord Chaitanya also. We always sing every night in the kirtan, Kiva Jaya Jaya, Kiva Nara Hari Adhi Kari Tamara Sulaya. He used to fan with the chamar, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he'd already disappeared and practically there was hardly any devotees left, but one of the few devotees that was left was Dvija Haridas in Vrindavana. I believe he was in Vrindavana. So when the news came that he'd also finished up his pastimes and gone, and just about the same time, Gadadhar Das, Narahari, they'd just gone a little before, it was a very big loss for the whole Vaishnava world at that time. So having spent some time in Vrindavan, knowing the qualities of Dvija Haridas especially, that previously had a festival for Gadadhar Das and Narahari, then Srinivas decided that there should be a big sammelan, a big gathering of all the Vaishnavas in a commemoration of Dvija Haridas. So a At that time, all the Vaishnavas were called, invited all the great preachers, and Birbhadra, the son of Nityananda, he came, Raghunandan, they all came to Srikando, the place where Narahari used to live, Chiranjeev, Raghunandan, all these associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some, two of the sons of Nityananda, I believe Krishna, Mr. Gopal, Mr., they up came, of Advaita. And like this, so many different associates came. Yadunandan, Acharya, I believe was there. So many. Hundreds and hundreds. About actually, direct disciples of the Parshads and the Parshads themselves, say, about 100 or more came. And then general public, regular devotees who wanted to see them, have the darshan of these, there was literally 100,000 packed up, just everyone came. So when they came, and Srinivasacharya, he greeted them all, and they were having for several days non-stop kirtans and bhagavatam classes and just a whole like a parikram, taking prasadam together, and all the people were gathering. So then one night, Birbhadra Prabhu, he had a kirtan began with his associates, and he started to dance. Of course, Birbhadra himself is Kiru Dakshaya Vishnu. And Birbhadra was a tremendous preacher. I mean, sometimes, just as a, one time the Mohammedan ruler went into a village and then so-called, you know, converted about 100 Hindus to Mohammedan. And then Birbhadra heard about it, went there, and he initiated 1,000 Mohammedans into Vaishnava Dharma. He was very, very strong preacher. Performed many miracles also, being a Vishnu avatar. So he began dancing, and naturally, just like Nityananda was, by his dancing, Lord Chaitanya was always present. Well, Birbhadra's dancing, you can imagine, was something which was beyond this world. So his dancing in kirtan, the people all gathered around to see, and the other associates, they became all filled with a deep ecstasy. And then he started to praise the qualities of Dvija Hari Das and started to say, where is Gauranga? Where is Nityananda? Where is Advaita? Where is Gadadhara? Where we will find Srivas? Where is Vasudev Ghosh, Govinda Ghosh? Where is Narahari, Gadadhara Das? Where is Rupa and Sanatan, Sarup, Ramananda Rai? In this way, they were all submerged into a separation. Where is Dvija Hari Das? When will we see the Lord and all His associates together? Together in the big Mahasankirtan. When will we get the association of these great devotees again? And then the devotees, they just became mad in separation and started just weeping and crying and pounding their heads, and they fell on the ground unconscious and conscious and just crying. And this way, Srinivas saw that the whole mood became practically, everybody was crying. The people were watching. They all started crying. Literally thousands of them, they all started crying in separation that how unfortunate all of these great souls are left. We're here all alone. And all of a sudden, how it happened, no one knows. But Krishna, by His inconceivable potency, the whole mood went from that deep separation, that complete absorption in the separation of all these great Vaishnavas, it suddenly changed. And everyone, all these devotees, they became jubilant. And just the whole mood suddenly changed by some inconceivable power of Krishna. And then everyone, and the kirtan changed, and everyone started jumping up and down and laughing and calling to each other, and became filled with on a whole other mood of ecstasy. You see. And this kirtan went on. Before they knew it, the sun was rising. So the kirtan had gone the whole night, and no one even knew that how the time was going. So since it had gone the whole night, then everyone attended the Mangalarti of the deity Lord Chaitanya that Narahari established. And in this way, the people were also praising in so many ways how fortunate they were to be present at that time. So the devotees are feeling some transcendental mood of separation. But it's either how the mood, even ones in that pits of so-called pits or depths of separation within a distance of moment, that can be transformed into another type of ecstasy. Because one is actually going into the flow of the yoga maya's eternal ecstatic ocean of devotion. Tumai Para Para Sundagovir Bhakti Rasa Sindhu Tumai Chakaite Yami Kohiyako Bindu. In the middle of the ocean, tidal wave is only 6 inches, but the whole ocean right down to the very bottom is moving. It shifted because of some tremendous shock, tidal shock, earthquake shock or something. That's the meaning of tidal waves. The whole ocean is, you see, shifted and it's just moving like that. Ordinary waves are just on the surface. So that type of a shift may only, in the middle of the ocean, create a 6-inch or 1-foot wave. 1.5, just a big ship, just hardly notice it. But it's going right from the top down to the bottom. And when that comes up to the shore, and then the depth becomes less, and it turns into a huge wave. So in the shallow water, some people may show so many symptoms, of course, because Prabhupada was right from the top down to the very depth of spiritual realization. So we could only see the little surface symptom. But actually it was going so deep. Someone without such a depth of realization, he may show more of a wave on the surface, and it goes so deep. So Srila Prabhupada had that complete depth. So, of course, people externally, they can't understand. Either they see, oh, I think he's very serious. Externally, you can understand. Even there's a story about, just like I remember Achyutananda Maharaj told me how I was in India, and there was this one Sahajiya. You know Sahajiya? Sahajiya means someone, just like we keep telling you about transcendental ecstasy. So sometimes some people say, well, transcendental ecstasy, why wait? So they just start imitating, laughing or crying for Krishna, without actually letting it come spontaneously. So in so doing, one actually will experience some shadow symptoms with it. Actually, if you imitate crying for Krishna, that will also feel different than ordinarily crying, because somehow it's in connection with Krishna. But it's not the real thing. It's just a shadow. But there was this one professional guru, and he was to read the Bhagavatam. While he was reading, of course, he would always be crying. And therefore hundreds or thousands of people, they would gather and give him donations. It's a big, Hindu evangelist. So he would convince the people by crying. So Chaitanya went to see him off stage. And when he went there, then he saw that there the person... when he'd read the Bhagavatam, he'd be like this, and then there'd be two people, one on either side. Instead of the chamar, they'd have these little napkins. And they would go like this, you know, and very dramatically wipe the tear off, you know, so everyone, you know, it's like in case no one saw it in the back of the place, you know, they could just, you know, the guy would go and kind of wipe it off from a distance. Everyone could see that what was happening from two sides. It was the regular, and it's constantly the tears would be. So when he went back there, he saw that as soon as he got backstage, just right behind him, as soon as he followed, he went, and he went, whew, pulled the chilies out of his nose. You know, then they go. So there are all kinds of people. Of course, if you put two little chilies in your nose, no doubt that I don't know how he kept from sneezing. That was the real city. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, was a very Vaishnava system. Vaishnava was supposed to keep his sentiments confidential as far as possible. Sometimes looking grave, that's the only way one can stop from revealing different type of symptoms, which would not be appropriate. Of course, people don't realize what is a real standard of happiness. Real happiness is complete, right down to the depth of one's heart. So, all this type of good fortune, being fearless, having a nice facility of happiness, even material life, and complete satisfaction of the self, all this is possible by Yogamaya. But who is Yogamaya giving that shelter to? She's giving that shelter to those who are the devotees of Krishna. Daiva prakriti asritam. Those who are under the protection of the divine nature, Yogamaya, those are the Mahatmas, or the great souls who are surrendered to Krishna. So if one wants to get that divine shelter, then one has to surrender to Krishna. Of course, then one will become more and more mad after Krishna. But he shouldn't be afraid that, oh, there'll be some type of misery and separation, or I'll become attached. Just like nowadays, the people, they want to have sense gratification with no attachment. They don't want any attachment, because they know when attachment grows, then also there's so many types of pain. The people they just meet on the street and go, and they have their relations, and then they don't even reveal each other's names, and they depart. This, no attachment, there should just be unattached sense gratification. This is the latest mood. Maybe not the latest, but one of the later moods. Because people see that, oh, not good to be attached. But if one is attached to Krishna, that is very good. And even one thinks that, well, then I'll feel bad because I won't be able to immediately see Krishna, or I'll become separated from my spiritual master. But someone who actually tastes that feeling of devotion to the spirit, he would not trade that for $1 billion, for anything material, even liberation. Because along with that comes the knowledge that this relationship is real. All the other relationships were superficial. Therefore, they were not satisfying. Even to be in separation is satisfying. In separation, there's union of a different kind. And by separation, when one does unite with the loved one, then that is 100 times, so many times more ecstatic or fulfilling. This was revealed also that Lord Krishna, he leaves the residence of Vrindavan so that when he again rejoins them, then they'll, so that actually their ecstasy is increased. And when he does join with them again, they're even more satisfied. Actually, he never leaves them. He just becomes invisible. But he's actually with them in the form of transcendental bhava, bhava expansion. So we should try to become more and more absorbed in Krishna and the spiritual master's qualities. All it takes is simply meditation glorification, listening. It's not something one has to artificially impose. It's contagious. It's very contagious. Simply if one hears again and again about the glories of Krishna from pure devotees, he'll become attached more and more. Can't help it. If you stay near the fire, then you'll become hotter and hotter. We just have to be careful that we don't leave the fire by any means. That will be very undesirable. Krishna says, Same bhakto chaturvedhi mad bhakto svapacho priya. That even someone who knows all the Vedas, who's not Krishna's devotee, he's not very favorite of Krishna. Krishna finds even someone who's born in the family of the dog eaters, but who's his devotee, as most dear to him. And whatever he gives, that should be accepted as if Krishna was giving it. That's how dear Krishna's devotees are to him. So one doesn't have to concern himself with what I was before, I'm too fallen or too unworthy. No. Somehow or another, if one can connect himself with the lotus feet of Krishna, he has to tie up the lotus feet of Krishna. How? Just clinging to the feet of Nitai Gaur. Clinging. Then his life will be perfect. Doesn't matter what he was before, how many defects he may have had or didn't have. By their mercy, one can reach that highest pinnacle of spiritual realization and complete satisfaction and good fortune. So one should begin clinging by chanting very regularly and sincerely, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And using as much of one energy for Krishna consciousness as possible. Thank you very much. Is there any question? Has to become a fish. As long as you're swimming on the surface, then it's very difficult, but you have to become a deep water fish and dive deep into it. To become a deep fish, Lord Chaitanya gave the basic program in the Shikshashtakam, his 8th shloka. His Maya, she's also casting her net on the surface. But if one is a deep fish, go deep, deep, far below the nets of Maya, being very humble, very determined. Tana adhapi sunichena tarariva sahishtana avanena manadena kirtaniya sada hari. Always more humble than a straw in the street, more tolerant than the tree, always ready to offer respect to others and not desiring respect to oneself, one can constantly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So in this mood, one stays deep in the ocean of transcendental nectar, cultivating anya, bilashita sunno, devotion. Deep in the ocean, deep in that ocean, there's nothing but that pure Krishna consciousness. But if one has other abhilashas, desires, then of course it surfaces. And then there's a danger of being caught by the nets of Maya. So one has to cultivate anya abhilashita sunya bhakti. Desireless devotion. To experience the high. If one sees it, I have other desires. And I have not yet been able to dovetail these desires in Krishna consciousness. Why aren't I tasting the highest ecstasy? He's not being sincere with himself. He can know So long as I have these other desires, I will only be able to just taste a small fraction of Krishna consciousness. Well, maybe even then be able to experience something about Krishna consciousness, because Lord Chaitanya is so powerful. And by practicing, one will gradually transcend those desires if he wants to transcend them, even a little bit. Then it will be very fast. But when we are harboring so many other different type of desires, so our mind is absorbed not in Krishna but in so many other desires, and then we wonder why I'm not getting that deep realization. You see, people in that state, the only way they could get such a deep realization is by kripasiddhi. It's like when Minikitam Ram would walk up to people and touch them with his flute, and they would start crying and laughing in ecstasy and chanting Hare Krishna. Apart from such type of alaukik or just uncommon mercy, one would, generally speaking, have to gradually or immediately give up the desire for other things. Even someone may be in a certain situation, which may appear to be materialistically, entangled. But if his desire is that, oh, somehow if I could just be completely Krishna conscious, if I could somehow just, this is not at all what I want to be in. See, that desire itself, he may actually taste a deeper realization about Krishna consciousness. But someone who even superficially appears to be very renounced or very absorbed in the spiritual environment, but mentally is contemplating on the objects of the senses or still has so many desires other than Krishna consciousness to be fulfilled, he's got longer to go. Everyone does not immediately. Some people, what happens is that they can immediately see that there's nothing in this world except Krishna consciousness. Naam bina kichu nahi ko ar chodda bhuvanu maje. Nothing except the holy name, nectar, that's actually worth desiring. Either by seeing that other people are all miserable, even they have all type of material facilities, or by seeing that how the devotees are always, those who are advanced devotees are always ecstatic. Or by whatever, you may come some by reading the Shastra, by hearing the histories of great Mahajana, somehow this realization may come to him. You see. So that person, of course, he doesn't have any obstacles ahead of him. He's understood. But some other people, they're such less intelligent that they have to experience for themselves being entangled by Maya and what is the actual misery of that pursuit of happiness. And I mean, the right to pursuit of happiness. Pursuit of happiness, right to pursuit happiness means the right to get kicked by Maya. So Krishna also gives that right, pursuit of happiness, but recommends that one should do it with some regulated principle. So at least that way, one will be able to have a controlled pursuit of happiness, material happiness, which will be a limited kicking. But it will be enough that one will be able to realize that except for Krishna's holy name, there's nothing in this world worth desiring. So some people may realize that by their and be able to maintain that faith or that determination by Krishna's mercy, just by hearing about it. Other people, they have to go through a little more direct perception. to be able to control their mind. Their mind doesn't have the strength to just maintain by hearing that realization hasn't come. It has to be sincere. And then, if one maintains, however, very strictly his Krishna consciousness chanting, then in the midst of those difficulties, if he continues serving Krishna and dovetailing everything he can to Krishna consciousness, following the instructions of the spiritual master, then the realization should come, which will create Anya Bilashi. The goal is you have to get desireless devotion. So that will automatically come if one perseveres in serving. But they're the different. There's like the direct roots, and then there's the little more indirect roots. You can understand what I mean. So each person may be different. What amount of material? Some people, they've already suffered so much in even a short life that they're already completely determined that no look back, Krishna all the way. Others, like, was that one girl in the Bible? She, Sodom and Gomorrah, she wasn't supposed to look back at the city. She looked back and turned into a salt pillar. Yeah. Although we enter Krishna consciousness, we're always looking back at what have we missed. So that facility is there, that if one can't keep looking straight ahead, that in Krishna consciousness there are different facilities for in material life, dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. But one can just always keep his face to Krishna. But even Arjuna said, I can't do that. He said, tell me something. And he said, well, do it by regulation. And undeviatingly, just looking, just always be fixed in Krishna. Even Arjuna said, it's not possible for me. Very difficult to do that. He was a man of action. So if one is humble and always determined to fix his mind on Krishna in whatever circumstance, then he can stay deep in the ocean of bhakti, and the maya can't catch him with her net. But if one becomes proud, forgets that Krishna's mercy is the only shelter, then Maya will catch him, he'll be kicked. Him, her, whoever.
The question is, how to dive in? That's the question. And I mean, some people are intelligent in the beginning and they just dove in. Others, you know, on the surface, you just stay on the surface for years and years and years, you know? Just barely hanging on, you know, and having all these difficulties and all these, you know, all these temporary problems and things like that. But, you know, in other words, how to dive in?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. You got the point. Devotional service. So it's The door is always open. But it's, and when I went to a progressive high school and they taught this English teacher, he didn't believe in Shakespeare. I never read Shakespeare, obviously. He was so-called progressive. But he would have us read all, you know, far out kind of things. So one of the books, or one of the short stories he had to read, there was a play called No Exit, where they had three people. This is usually read in college. We read this in high school, prep school. And there is a kind of modern situation where there's one man and two women. So one man, he's attracted by one of the women. One of the women is attracted. What happens is the man, he's an ordinary man. One of the women, she's a ordinary woman. And the other woman's a lesbian. So the man, of course, everything could have worked out great materially. This is the idea. But the man, he became attracted to the lesbian. But she wasn't all attracted to him. She became attracted to the other woman. And she became attracted to that man. So in this way, none of them were attracted to the person who was attracted to them. And they were all attracted to the person who couldn't care less about the other person. And so they were in hell. They were in hell. And the door was locked. And then it took as long as they developed all these kind of perverse attractions to each other. Then the door opened and they could leave if they wanted. But they were so attached to each other. At the same time, they could never satisfy because, you know, this weird situation. So they couldn't leave either. No chance, and they were just... That was the end of the short story. The door opened and they could leave, and they didn't leave. At the same time, they were in hell. And they created the hell for themselves. So, of course, that's the material thing. The material door, there it is. Anyone can leave and become Krishna conscious. But they're all tied up with so many different attachments. Similarly, the door for Krishna consciousness is open. But why? We want to jump in, but then it seems so many things are pulling us not to jump in. Well, what about this? What about that? So, Krishna consciousness and Krishna's mercy was such that when one did jump in, he would give the mercy. One had to jump in. Without jumping in, you couldn't get that mercy. And so, of course, it was difficult. Even they want to jump in, it's very difficult sometimes because so many different things are there. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind that just if one wants to jump in, sincerely, and chants his name, chants Hare Krishna, prays for the mercy, then somehow or another one will actually find oneself in at one point or other by their mercy. How they got in, that will be a mystery, possibly. That will be known that that was the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And one has to try to jump in. Desire means, you know, oh, I want to jump in. But, you know, it also take a practical manifestation. You want to graduate from college. You don't just sit there and say, I want to graduate from college. You got to study. Go to class. Pass your exam. At least sit for your exam. If there's a desire to pass university, a person has to go through, you know, he'll show that. Similarly, if there's a desire to dive in, at least some attempt will be made. He may not be able to dive in. May fall on the beach, jump in, but only get, you know, get his head in the sand or whatever. But that some attempt will be there. And, by chanting, by serving Lord Chaitanya and his movement, and actually desiring to be completely Krishna conscious, that one becomes Krishna conscious. Which it ordinarily, that wouldn't be, one would be, has to practically be completely surrendered to Krishna. And then, one can get Krishna's mercy. It wasn't enough in Krishna Lila that one wanted to be, or admired it, or liked it. Krishna didn't so easily give that. But Lord Chaitanya, even if one sincerely desires, Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi, Kipa Kora Ami Bolo Dukhi. So there are many different methods for getting some special consideration. Narottam Das Thakur, he said in his prayer to Lord Chaitanya that you are the most kind, you are the deliverer of the fallen. So there's no one more fallen than me. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, you are delivering all the fallen souls. So I am the most fallen. So therefore, I deserve to be delivered first. Please deliver me first. I am priority case. You're delivering all the fallen, so I'm the most fallen. And you're delivering therefore, mine is a priority case. I should get delivered first. In this way, the devotee prays to Lord Chaitanya, the previous acharyas, accepts the situations of serving with tolerance and humility, and goes on in the devotional service, always hoping to get Krishna's mercy, always hoping, very patiently, enthusiastically. If one doesn't immediately get, doesn't lose the patience that one has, is always hoping, when will I get that mercy? Lord Chaitanya says, I can get it at any moment. And like that, one will get the mercy. The thing is that we don't hope for Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Because sometimes we may look back and realize that actually somehow I failed to jump in or I failed to get the mercy. But the thing we have to see is that we have to maintain a continuous hope for that mercy. A continuous desire. If we have developed gradually an unbroken desire, even someone may practically fail at certain points, but even in that failure, the overriding mood will be that actually somehow I got into this mess, but all I want is Krishna consciousness. All I want is that mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even the senses may somehow get out of control or something like that may happen. And then as soon as one comes back to sense, realizes, you know, what's actually happened or whatever, then desires, that immediately if the desire is actually, I just want to get the mercy of Chaitanya. And praise to the previous acharya, the great devotees, Lord Chaitanya, for their mercy, and then continues trying. And then one has to actually become honest. Even one may be a little weak or unqualified, but at least honest. So then one can become very quickly the recipient of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Lord Chaitanya had renounced devotees and he had grihastha devotees. He gave his mercy to both, to everyone. But of course, like Junior Haridas, because he was an insincere, renounced devotee, so he was rejected. Of course, that was to show an example, but because being rejected, he felt so deeply the shock of being separated from Lord Chaitanya. So even he was ultimately, of course, delivered, because he felt the shock so greatly. So the thing is that connecting our consciousness with Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet by this constant desire. If that desire is there, then one is brought to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very quickly.
So that desire is manifested by serving, by chanting, by pushing on somehow another. There's never a point where if one's sincerely trying, that Lord Chaitanya rejects that devotee. Even if he makes so many mistakes. Of course, if someone is too fallen, may not be able to live in a society of devotees. But still, Lord Chaitanya won't reject that devotee service, whatever service is offered, sincerely. And surely that person will reach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eventually. So if someone thinks that I'm not able to dive in, so therefore why I shouldn't desire it. Since I can't dive in, so then what's the use? See, that's Dwarpa Yuga. With Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I can't dive in. I'm trying to dive in, but somehow every time I dive in, I find my leg is tied to this rope, and I go to dive and it pulls me back. But actually, if one is actually trying to dive in, even they may have all these different types of actually, that desire of wanting to dive in and actually always trying to dive in, even when we may not be immediately able to dive in. Chanting and desiring the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. That is enough to ultimately one finds oneself in the ocean. Practically Lord Chaitanya throws you in eventually. Or the spiritual master's representative throws you in. So one shouldn't lose hope that, oh, because I'm not able to dive in. But actually the hope itself, that desire, ana kore mone asa. Don't desire other things. That's what we pray every morning to the spiritual master. Don't let me desire other things. Don't let me put, asa means actually hope. Don't let me make any hope in any other request. So if we can put all our hopes in Krishna consciousness, then that will be our greatest fortune. And by doing that, then by Krishna's mystic power, which is unlimited, Lord Chaitanya's mystic power, mercy of the spiritual master, one will actually become advanced. More so even than someone Name Bhakta Chaturvedi, one may know the whole Vedas, he may know Bhagavatam slok by slok. But if he doesn't desire actually to be Krishna conscious, doesn't desire to actually please Krishna by his existence, you see, then he's not so dear to Krishna. But someone, even he's maybe a dog eater, but he desires, I want to please Krishna. I want to satisfy Krishna by my life, by my activity. Somehow I want to be devotee of Krishna. Well, that means he is a devotee of Krishna. Even he may not be even then so pure, but that person is dear to Krishna. Then somehow he knows all the Vedas, he knows all the intricacies, but actually doesn't really want to serve Krishna. Devotional service, you get right down to this. Actually, of course, we preach to everyone, chant Hare Krishna and everything like that. But when you get down, you want to get down, it's one of the more subtle thing. It comes right down to the desire, to the hope, to the, which is thinking, feeling, thinking, willing, and feeling. Thinking, feeling, willing. The willing. When it gets to the willing aspect, the more subtle, that is what's needed. So some people think and some people feel very nice. But one who's actually desiring, I want to become Krishna conscious. And they just try again. So many stories of the little choo-choo train. The hat, the rabbit, and the hare and the and the tortoise. Who finishes the race there in Svetadvipa in Lord Chaitanya's abode, he's the winner. So it does not have to be one, everyone can go. Someone may make a quick spurt, look back, oh, I'm ahead of everybody else. Take a little vacation here. Before you know it, everyone else is already sailed ahead. Till the race is over, we can't let up. Once one reaches the eternal Dham, then, of course, Nāpnuvanti Mahātmānam Saṅsiddhiṃ Paramam Gatā. One doesn't return again. Until then, one doesn't have the right to be careless. That's a false pride. The pride is the forerunner of defeat. Fall down, what's in there saying like that?
About pride comes before the fall.
A little success. We got the spiritual master may praise us a little bit or something. We think that actually, or we get a little bit, we may experience suddenly a little spurt of ecstasy or something, and they think we've already made it. Then we become somehow lax again and get in trouble. So until one actually gets pure Krishna consciousness, or that means realizes the eternal Dham and Krishna directly, which at which time then one doesn't fall into ignorance, because one's too mad in love for Krishna to do so. So one has to be careful with his intelligence, with one's intelligence, not to become proud, not to become careless, not to become hopeless. Upadeshamrita gives nice instruction on this. The spiritual master is present, then of course one can ask the spiritual master. Otherwise take shelter of older godbrothers, senior godbrothers, to, that's the meaning of association. I know before I do any type of new service, I always like to discuss with the senior Vaishnava and get their opinion also, just to be sure. Since they are there, fortunately enough, usually give their approval, but they also sometimes add new dimensions, because Krishna is unlimited. So one can see part of Krishna, and yet there are so many other parts yet to be seen. Someone else may see some other part. In this way, Krishna is unlimited. No one can claim that he knows the whole truth. Even someone realizes Krishna, but still, Krishna is unlimited. He may realize only one part of Krishna. Or he will see, that person will see certain qualities, which another will see even other qualities. And this way, the devotees can continue discussing about Krishna without any end, because each devotee is having new and newer realizations from different, you can say, different angles. Because Krishna is unlimited. In this regard, if you read the description of the Gundicha Marjanam, the purports by Bhakti Siddhanta, which is dealing, you know, with first of all, one picks up all the leaves and the twigs. Well, Lord Chaitanya picked them up and then cleaned them in his own cloth. Then they swept with brooms and they washed with water. Then they came in. And finally, with a little nail, fingernails, or with other twigs or something, they would pick out the cracks of the stones, all the dust that was still in there. So it's not really that subtle miles come, but it's like first after you've cleaned all the twigs and branches, you go back and see, well, there's still some dust on the floor. Then you sweep it, then you see, well, even after we swept it, still there's like, you know, what can't be swept is, and then you wash it. And even after washing, and then the cracks, then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explained that, like this, a devotee cleans, and so one has to keep cleaning. When one gets down to the crack, that means that even devotee at that point is completely given up all desire for fruitive activity. Yet the aroma, in other words, that you've given up the desire, but the habit is there from so long to think fruitively and to act fruitively, to think of profit and loss, and that if one acts or even thinks that, well, let me do some type of business for Krishna, that the danger is there that because the habit is already, it's like there so strongly, even though you're doing the same activity that is so dangerous, that then one can again become fruitively involved. So one has to be careful and understand all these things, and then if properly dovetails everything, then we see that so many devotees say, I want to do a business for Krishna, and then what happens, they do the business, then they make some money, and they say, well, actually, I can't give any money to Krishna now because I have to reinvest it, you know, first of all, and then, you know, build up a little capital, and it goes on like that, and then, you know, before you know it, after about 3 years, still hasn't given any money to Krishna, fallen down from regular principles, and then, you know, it happens like that sometimes, so. Of course, if one, the desire to do business for Krishna, of course the grihastha has to do business. If one does business and actually gives the fruits to Krishna, knowing that how dangerous the fruitive activity is, that if one does a type of profitable work and doesn't give the fruits to Krishna, that the danger of becoming again attached to profit, the whole material fruitive mood again may pollute him. So you see in the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya that they were very careful. Most of them were grihasthas. They were very careful when doing their business to give, of course in those days they would give 50% of their income to Krishna, or to worshipping the Ganges, or to the Vaishnavas, or something. To give a strict amount, taking that whatever comes is by Krishna's mercy. Even today in India, you find people come and they pray to Lord Jagannath that if you make my business a success, I'll give you half. And so then they get a little success, maybe they go and give half to Jagannath, and then they get more and more like this, they build it up. Him is their partner. And there's even a story how, there's even a very popular play, how someone prayed like that, and then what happened is then he didn't give the half. So then Krishna came by and said, it's a movie actually, they made a movie how Krishna came and said, where's my half? I'll give it to you, but just little later. They went on like that. Some concocted, I don't know. But they have that idea that, you know, like, if you give half to Krishna, even the regular karmis. And so he kept putting Krishna off, and so finally, in the end, when he didn't give, then Krishna just took everything away. I didn't see them.
I heard about it. That was pretty funny.
He prayed to the deity, so then he didn't extend. The deity kept coming, either in dream or personally, finally. He didn't pay up. Took it off. Of course, Krishna doesn't have to come to collect personally. Ordinary people don't have that fortune. You see, go to Jagannath Puri, you see the big red flag sometimes on top of the temple. Someone promises that if this happens, then I'll put a red flag on the temple. Which is not so easy as it looks, because to climb up on top of the Jagannath Puri temple and put the flag is... it's not like there's no lift. There's not an inside stairway. You have to climb up the... Yeah. And there's not even any, like, loops, you know, to hold you on. Well, they hire somebody to do it, but... people have not come back. What happens, we clean up once and then we think, well, just like we picked up all the things that came out, dumped it outside, and then you come back and you look a little closer, you say, oh, and you're sweet. Gunditja Marjan is very good for devotees to read. Very nice instruction up there. Anything else? Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya.